Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. African countries will receive 18 million doses of the first ever vaccine against malaria over the next 2 years. The vaccine has been administered to more than 1.6 million children in Ghana, Kenya, and Malawi since 2019 and has been shown to be safe and effective and has resulted in a substantial reduction in severe malaria and a drop in the number of child deaths. Mgaiwa Magafu is a WHO vaccination official in Brazzaville, the capital of the Republic of Congo. He tells VOA's Carol Van Dam how the rollout will happen.
This is the first ever malaria vaccine that we have. It's called RTSS, and the trade name is Mosquirix, and it's manufactured by GSK, who are based in the UK.
How many countries in Africa will be getting it?
Yes, first of all, I would like to say that the number of countries that has expressed interest to introduce the vaccine is very high. We have more than 28 countries on the continent that are interested at the moment in introducing the vaccine. We have supply challenges, and so we have developed a framework to allocate the available number of vaccine doses to the countries in a way that is fair and equitable. Now, applying that framework, it's 12 countries that are going to get the vaccine at the moment. Three of those have been receiving the vaccine under a pilot program, and those are Kenya, Ghana, and Malawi. And they have been implementing the vaccine for more than 3 years. They started in 2019. And so they have quite some experience. The other countries, the newcomers, they are 9, and they are Benin, Burkina Faso, Burundi, Cameroon, DRC, Congo, Liberia, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and Uganda. So that makes it a total of 12 countries. The initial 3 countries plus the new 9 countries.
Wow, that's a lot. How are you doing this? How are you distributing them?
Yes. First of all, the funding for the introduction usually comes from Gavi, and the Gavi works with the partners. So these countries applied for a grant to introduce the vaccine, and they got the applications accepted by Gavi. So Gavi will be funding the introduction. Of course, partners also fill in the gaps where they are. And those that are dealing with the procurement are UNICEF. So UNICEF will be procuring the vaccine from the manufacturer and then shipping the vaccine doses to these countries. WHO is providing technical assistance, and we've been working with Gavi and UNICEF to make sure that the introduction is a success.
And you work with UNICEF like this and you get it to the countries, then what? Does it go to hospitals and health clinics?
Yes. First of all, this is a commodity that has to be approved by the authorities in the countries. And each of the countries have got a national regulatory authority, the equivalent of the US FDA. And that has to license the vaccine before the vaccine can be accepted to get into the country. Now, that process is ongoing for most of the countries that have not done so. And so once that permit is there, there will be a permit to import the vaccine into the country. And once it's received in the country, it is going to be sent at the major deposit for the country for vaccines. That is at the national level. And then from the national level, it's distributed to the districts as the need arises.
That is Ngaiwa Magafu, a WHO vaccination official in Brazzaville, Republic of Congo, speaking to VOA's Carol Van Dam. Officials in Cameroon say vaccine hesitancy is preventing them from inoculating millions of children for childhood diseases in the first major campaign since the COVID-19 pandemic began. Cameroon has an outbreak of measles and rubella that has killed 18 children and sickened thousands this year. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Cameroon's public health ministry says several thousand vaccinators have been dispatched to over 200 hospitals in the Central African country to inoculate more than 5.5 million children against measles and rubella. The government says the vaccinators are also visiting homes, churches, mosques, markets and camps where school children are spending their holiday time to make sure every child under 10 years old is inoculated. 36-year-old carpenter Ongene Pierre says he stopped the vaccinators from inoculating his three children at Nyom, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital Yaoundé.
Il y a des enfants qui ont été déjà vaccinés et on ne tient pas à connaître s'ils ont été vaccinés ou pas.
Ongene says he doesn't understand why the government of Cameroon wants all children under 10 to be vaccinated. The government should have found out if some of the children have been inoculated or not, Ongene says, adding that health workers should not be visiting holiday camps, churches and other public places to vaccinate children without the approval of their parents. Ongene said he has never received a vaccine in his life and sees no reason for his children to be vaccinated. Cameroon's public health ministry says measles and rubella have affected more than 4,000 children with 18 deaths since January. Jeanette Molua is a medical staff member in the public health ministry. She says the ongoing nationwide campaign targets children from 9 months to 5 years who are the most affected by the measles outbreak.
We should make sure our children take the 2 doses of the vaccine because this will boost their immune system. We should sensitize the public, those with rubella, we direct them to the hospital for them to get treatment. And also it is treated by the same vaccine, the MMR vaccine, which fights against measles, mumps and rubella.
Mulwa said the measles, mumps and rubella vaccine is safe and there is no harm getting another dose. Cameroon's Minister of Health says less than 30% of about 5.5 million children targeted for vaccination in the 5-day campaign launched Wednesday have been vaccinated. The government says a lack of trust is the leading cause of vaccine hesitancy. The government says a lack of access to vaccination information and long distances from vaccination centers and hospitals prevent mothers from getting their children vaccinated. The National Institute of Statistics says that Cameroon is a country with a high proportion of the world's zero-dose or unvaccinated children. The center says several pockets in Cameroon traditionally miss essential healthcare services, including vaccinations. Health officials say parents should make sure their children get 2 doses of MMR vaccine, starting with the first dose at 12 to 15 months of age and the second dose at 4 through 6 years of age. The ongoing vaccination campaign is the biggest since Cameroon reported its first cases of COVID-19 in March 2020. The government says when COVID-19 was reported in the Central African state, parents were afraid to take their children to hospitals for vaccinations because hospitals were also COVID-19 test and treatment centers. Health workers say a major challenge for them now is having access to some parts of Western English-speaking regions. Separatist fighters have declared that they don't want workers from the central government in Yaoundé in English-speaking towns and villages. Cameroon's military says it is protecting health workers and is asking civilians to denounce fighters against government troops so the vaccination drive can be successful. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. We turn now to breast cancer. Preliminary data for a potential vaccine against breast cancer developed by Cleveland Clinic looks promising. Researchers say the results from the ongoing phase 1A of the vaccine to prevent triple negative breast cancer have shown an immune response among all the women who participated in the small clinical trial. According to the American Cancer Society, triple negative breast cancer is usually more aggressive, harder to treat, and more likely to come back than other breast cancer. Anixa Biosciences, a biotechnology company focusing on the treatment and prevention of cancer, has announced the results of its phase 1A breast cancer vaccine trial, which they say are remarkable. The vaccine aims to prevent triple negative breast cancer to develop in recovering patients. For more insight, I spoke with Amit Kumar, the chairman and CEO of Anixa Biosciences, a California-based company that is licensed to create the vaccine, and Jennifer Davis, a mother in Ohio and the first woman in the U.S. to get the vaccine during the trial.
Dr. Amit Kumar and Jennifer Davis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start with you, Dr. Kumar. You are the CEO of Anixa Bioscience. The company is developing a vaccine for breast cancer, something very unusual. Tell us more about the vaccine. What is the technology behind it? And is it for prevention, treatment? What is it exactly?
The vaccine, it was developed at the Cleveland Clinic over the last two decades. And we partnered with the Cleveland Clinic to help bring this vaccine to clinical trials and then eventually commercialization. The vaccine is designed at the current time to be a preventative, a prophylactic vaccine. So one of our goals is to be able to show that this vaccine will prevent triple negative breast cancer, which is the most lethal type of breast cancer, in women who are triple negative breast cancer survivors, like Jennifer, who are worried about their cancer coming back, recurrence of the cancer, as well as to be able to prevent the primary cancer, meaning prevent triple negative breast cancer in women who have never had cancer before. So we're in the middle of the phase one early stage clinical trials. We've presented data at the American Association of Cancer Research. And so far, the results are looking very, very promising.
One question that a lot of people have is, why is it that cancer has been around for so long, but there is no prevention tool such as a vaccine? And now here you come up with this vaccine, and it's for specifically for triple negative. Now, let me come to you, Jennifer. When did you find out that you had breast cancer, specifically triple negative, and what initial treatment steps have you gone through?
I was diagnosed in September of 2018 with triple negative. I was diagnosed by a local facility and then decided to go to Cleveland Clinic for my treatment. Had an amazing team there. I had chemotherapy, followed by double mastectomy, followed by radiation. It was a long process, and so then just had follow-up appointments after that. But with triple negative, you know, there is nothing. Once treatment is over, there's nothing that I take. You know, you can't take tamoxifen or any other medication to kind of give you that peace of mind that there's not going to be a recurrence. So when the vaccine became available, I was very, you know, excited and wanted to participate in the trial.
So Dr. Kumar, why specifically triple negative breast cancer? Is it because it's the most common or the most aggressive, or is it a vaccine that could be eventually used for other types of breast cancer?
We believe that the vaccine will eventually can be used to prevent other types of breast cancer. However, triple negative is the most lethal form. It's the type of breast cancer that is responsible for the most deaths and the highest rate of recurrence for people who are survivors. And so we focused on that for that reason, as well as the fact that the target protein, which the vaccine targets, is seen very frequently on triple negative breast cancer cells. So while the clinical trials we're engaged in right now is focused on triple negative breast cancer patients, and that type of cancer, we do believe that this type, this vaccine will have an effect on other types of cancers as well, eventually, as we expand the clinical trials.
So you said right now the clinical trial is at phase one?
Yes, that's correct. Clinical trials are typically done in three phases. Phase one is the earliest phase, focused on initially safety as well as some indicators of efficacy.
Jennifer, what prompted you to engage in this trial? And did you have any concerns at all about side effects or effectiveness?
I was not concerned, really. The amount of worry that I had that it was going to come back far outweighed any concern that I had going into it. You know, I was able to complete all the pre-testing, and I was lucky enough that I qualified for it, and I didn't hesitate to get it.
Dr. Kumar, why was Jennifer a good candidate for the trial?
At this stage, we are enrolling women who have had triple negative breast cancer and have gone through standard of care, which, as Jennifer indicated to you, was initially chemotherapy, surgery, post-surgical recovery, and then additional therapy, either radiation or additional chemotherapy. And that whole process is pretty brutal. Luckily for Jennifer and the other women in the trial, they were able to curatively be treated, meaning there's no evidence of the cancer using standard diagnostic techniques now. Now, these women are all potential candidates for recurrence of the cancer. These women wake up every morning, and if there's a headache or a pain in their belly, the first thing they worry about is, has my cancer come back? And so we wanted to see this vaccine could potentially eliminate the possibility of recurrence in these patients. Now, the trial is designed to evaluate the efficacy through biomarkers at the current time, but we're hoping Jennifer and all of the other participants in the trial will never have a recurrence of their cancer.
How long is the immunity anticipated to last, and will there be a need for a booster?
That's a very good question, and we don't know the answer to that. We can speculate a little bit. One of the reasons that you often need boosters, for example, the COVID vaccine and the flu, is the fact that the target protein the immune system is trained to attack is a protein that often mutates, so it changes. Protein that is not mutating and it exists in the body already. And so we're hoping that we don't need booster shots. Ideally, the immune system, as we know, has memory. It remembers. Hopefully, after initial vaccination, we won't need to boost the patient. But we'll not know the true and the final answer to that for some time.
So the preliminary report says that the results are remarkable. Jennifer, how do you feel after taking the vaccine?
I feel wonderful. I feel even better after getting the results this week. It gives you a peace of mind, and I want to be an advocate for it. I want this, you know, on the grander scale. Of course, I'm happy that it's worked for myself, but this could potentially wipe out triple negative breast cancer, you know, in years to come, if it works the way that everyone hopes that it will. And if that happens, you know, to eliminate, you know, 12 to 15% of the most lethal kind of breast cancer, is just, it's remarkable. And I'm very excited for those results and, you know, for this to keep moving forward.
Dr. Kumar, you heard what Jennifer said. Projected number is 1 in 4 in the future. What is it about breast cancer that we still don't know? I mean, for someone like you who has been working on this vaccine for so many years, what have you learned along the way that the average woman needs to know?
Well, Lenore, we've made a tremendous amount of progress in breast cancer. We have screening techniques such as mammography, MRI, and so forth. And we've also educated a lot of women to do self-exams. So luckily, we're able to often catch breast cancer early. even the most lethal form, like triple negative breast cancer, like in Jennifer's case, she noticed a lump in her breast and she immediately went and had it checked. But the process of treating that cancer is very brutal. It's not very much fun, as Jennifer will tell you. What we would like to do is to be able to just give women a shot or a series of shots and eliminate the potential onset of breast cancer. Now, what we've done so far in our study, and it's a small number of women because it's early stage, but we've demonstrated that the vaccine can create an immune response in these women, meaning that we've trained the immune system to make certain types of cells, like T cells, which is a type of cell that targets the cancer cells, and that's those are the results that we showed.
One of the things that it's often talked about is the access to clinical studies for some communities in terms of how the technology can be adapted to a particular group. When it comes to triple negative breast cancer, it's been known that Black women, as I mentioned earlier, are very much at risk of developing a more aggressive form of cancer, which is triple negative, and die from it. I was wondering, in your clinical trial, how much of that population is also involved?
That's a really, really good point, Lenore. You're absolutely right. Certain genetic profiles of women have a higher rate of triple negative breast cancer, and African American women are certainly in that category. Now, in our clinical trial, we're in the phase one clinical trial, we are not going to be recruiting a large number of patients. We're going to be doing anywhere from 18 to 24, maybe a few more than that. And we've had some women of minority background in the trial, but we would like many, many more. And in fact, I would like to tell women who are interested to keep track of how the progress is going. My company's stock symbol is ANIX. You can look it up and watch our press releases. And if you are able to or interested, we would like you to call us to see if you can participate in either this trial, the phase one stage, or as we expand to additional trial sites in phase two. At the current time, all of the patients have to be at the Cleveland Clinic. But as we go forward, we'll be expanding sites across the country and perhaps even internationally. So people should, if they're interested, keep track. And if they're so inclined, we would welcome everyone calling us too. They would be interested in participating in the trials.
When will it be available to use by everyone? Meaning, what do you anticipate in terms of timeline with phase two, phase three, perhaps FDA approval and things of that nature?
This is not a vaccine that's going to be developed and available overnight. It takes time. Studies have to be done properly. We anticipate that the first version would be utilized for patients like Jennifer, who are triple negative breast cancer survivors, to try and prevent recurrence of that breast cancer. And then eventually, or primary prevention, preventing breast cancer in women who have never had breast cancer. To your point earlier, some men as well. But we're thinking a few years, maybe 5 years, plus or minus, for the first target patient population that are worried about recurrence, and then maybe a few years later for primary prevention.
Before we wrap, Jennifer, what have you learned through this journey with breast cancer that you would like a woman to know?
I think that there's a couple things. Going through this is, very, very difficult, but it is important to find some positivity, to remain positive, to look for things that, bring you joy. And that's just like personally. As far as like clinically and going through the process, I think it's very important to find a good team that you trust And if you need a second opinion, you know, absolutely get a second opinion. And, you know, that is your right, you know, to find a medical team that you know is going to take care of you. And it was so important for me. And the Cleveland Clinic did that for me. My team there, like I said, was just amazing. And, you know, I credit them for saving my life. And then, you know, like Dr. Kumar had said, you know, early detection, you know, get your mammogram, do self-exams, and just and follow through with those types of things. I have spoken to a lot of women that, you know, say, oh, I don't get mammograms because I'm scared, which, you know, it is scary. It is scary, but the alternative is worse. And so, you know, follow through with those screenings and, you know, do your self-breast exam. And if you have any concern, you know your body the best. And so continue to advocate for yourself, you know, if things aren't right.
And Dr. Kumar, before we wrap, This really, as I mentioned earlier, is giving hope. People have always wondered, why is it that there is no treatment, there is no prevention? So what is the next frontier in breast cancer care? This vaccine gives hope that there will be a vaccine. What is the next frontier for someone like you who is a scientist and works in this field?
Well, if this vaccine demonstrates that it can prevent triple negative breast cancer in high risk women, for example, then the process, the mechanism that is being utilized for this vaccine could be utilized for many other types of cancer. And it'll change the way that we evaluate how to prevent cancer. So it's a very exciting clinical trial. As I stated earlier, we're at the early stages, but so far everything looks very promising. And as we test this vaccine on larger numbers of women, including more women of color, then we will be able to make some conclusions. And I think potentially, it could change the way cancer research is done in the future.
Dr. Amit Kumar and Jennifer Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nular.
Thank you.
Amit Kumar is chairman and CEO of Anixa Biosciences, and Jennifer Davis is a breast cancer survivor. That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Ninoch Mudu in Washington, with producer Mukbil Yabaro. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa and as always, happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.